In the Gospel of Luke, in the 15th chapter, starting at the 20th verse, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, 'I've sinned against heaven and against you, and no longer worthy to be your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Go, bring the best robe and put on him, and get a ring and put on his hand, and look at those feet, put shoes on him.'" Praise God. He says, and get the fatted, kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. This my son was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found. And they began to be happy. Hallelujah. When the prodigal came home, what a celebration. What a time when this young man that had taken his father's wealth and gone off and spent it living the worst kind of a life, living in immorality, and if they had drugs in those days, he would have taken it, whatever they had. He was at the bottom, spent it all, lost everything. And finally, hard times came, a depression came, and he lost and not a friend with him. He became hungry and starving, took the lowest possible job there was in those days, feeding the pigs and the hogs, working at the bottom, starving. He said, "I'm going home. I'm not worthy to be a child anymore, but I'm going home, and maybe my father will just hire me." But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, ran out, fell on him, hugged him, kissed him, and said, "This is my son. I love you. I love you. You were lost and you're found." And his son is saying, "I'm not worthy to be a son." But his father didn't even pay any attention to that. He loved him so much. He was so happy that he came back. His heart was filled with joy, and he said, "You were dead, and you're alive. You were lost, and you're back. You're back. Go, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate like it's a wedding. This is the feast time." What a picture of Jesus and of God and how he cares. Let me tell you about a prodigal that I knew. Many years ago, comparable in my life, he was born been a little older than I am. His name was Billy. He was born in Chicago to the poorest, a man of color, no father. His mother in those days, there was very little help, and his mother took in washing. There was no washing machine. She washed clothes by hand, dried them, ironed them, to just keep the wolves away and to pay for this boy and herself in the worst possible condition. And he saw how other people lived. And Billy saw how they lived and how they had something and he had nothing. And he was so disturbed. He didn't do well in school. Couldn't do well. Very bright. But he didn't do well. And he kept dropping out of school. And then finally he said, I'm not going to let my mother work like this. Long hours, just barely keeping alive. And he began to steal. He was smart. He was fast. He began to steal and to provide. never knew anything about God or anything like that. When he became a teenager, he was real fast. Began to drive. Got in with a gang, and the gang began to steal more and really big stuff and began to have great clothes and new cars. And Billy was really fast, so he became the driver of the gang in Chicago. He was fast. The cops never once caught him. In those days, they had hubcaps on the cars, and Billy told a story how that he would the cops would chase him, and he would go in and out under the elevators, just like we have in Brooklyn and Queens here, those elevated trains, and he would go underneath them because he could really give the cops a hard time. He had knocked the hubcaps off his car, some in so close. They never caught Billy. He went on. Finally, they got into big stuff. Then murder. Armed robbery and murder. And then he was wanted for murder in 4 states. He began to drink and his nerves got bad. Terrible drunkard. To keep going, he drank more and more. And began to avoid the law more and more. Trying his best to keep away from them. And he did. Never caught him. And finally, the alcohol got him. Drinking so much that his habit got to where he couldn't drive so well. So they had to get another driver. And it wasn't so long before Billy was so bad off that the gang didn't want him. Couldn't use him anymore. And he got so sick. Then he wasn't able to steal like he could before because he was so taken over by alcohol and his habit that he had what they call delirium tremens, and he couldn't sleep on anything 2 feet high. He felt like he was on the Empire State Building, and he had to sleep on the floor, shaking all the time. Then he got sick, got worse. Well, he's afraid of the law, so he decided, I've got to leave this part of the country. So he began to go into freight trains, and there's long trains, a mile long, coming out of Chicago. He'd get in a boxcar that was empty and going toward California. Decided he'd go to the Northwest and went across the country, took a long time to go, stealing a little bit, just barely keeping himself together. Finally, he got to the city of Seattle, Washington. When he got to Seattle, he was so bad that he wasn't able to survive. He said, I decided to kill myself. I'm so sick. I can't steal enough to live. Don't know what to do. I'm hurting. I have to stay on the floor, the box cars, and living in the worst condition. And he said, I think I'll take my life. On this day, Billy wouldn't walk on the street anymore, on the sidewalk anymore. He walked on the edge of the road, walked on the road in the street and alongside of the sidewalk because he didn't just feel like walking on the sidewalk with people. He's dirty now. He hasn't washed for days. His clothes are gone. He smells terrible. He's so sick. He's walking down this street in Seattle. It's a long street. And at the end of this street, there's a bridge. And he's going toward the bridge. He's going to jump off and end it all. Can't stand it any longer. While he's walking down that street, slow, passes a Japanese fruit market, open market. And he starts to go up and ask for a piece of fruit to take it. And the Japanese grabs a stick and beats him off like a dog. And he said, there was a day when nobody spoke to me like that. But now my spirit was gone. And I just acted like a dog, he said. And he beat me off and I'm starving. And he's walking down the street. Finally, he's walking slow. There's a woman, a white woman, sitting on, just happened to be. And he looks so bad, and she's an old woman. She sees him, he's walking so slow, and he's bent over, and he's so painful. And she says, son. He says, son, nobody has called me son in years. Nobody. She said, you look so hungry. He said, I am hungry. She said, come over here. Let me give you something to eat. She brought him back in and set him down in the dining room and cooked him a meal. My, he thought, this is wonderful. I'm so hungry. She said, son, you look like you're tired. He said, I am tired. I'm so tired. She said, go into the bedroom here I've got another bedroom here. Go in and have a sleep. Oh, he says, I can't sleep in a bed. I have to sleep on the floor. So he walked outside and crawled under the house, on the back of the house, and lay down with some old rags and bags and trash and went to sleep. While he's sleeping, she gets on the phone to a couple of her friends that love God. She says, pray. Pray with me right now. I think I've got a fish. And she said, I think I'm going to catch him. And so they begin to pray, and they're all praying. And when he comes to, she's got all his clothes. She's rounded up clothes for him. She says, you go in there and take a bath, son, and here's some clean clothes for you. Went in to bathe. Put those clean clothes on, and she says, would you like to go to church with me? He says, yeah, I'll go anywhere with you. And she took him to church. Billy said, I heard them singing, and I saw people. It was like Times Square Church, all nationalities. Saw black people and white people and Japanese and Koreans and yellow people. And he said, I looked around and he said, everybody is so happy. Everybody is happy. I said, this is different. Never saw anything like this in my life. Never. And he said, I didn't understand it. And they preached the gospel, but he said, I didn't understand. I never heard about God in my life. My first introduction. He said, she took me back and arranged for me to sleep. And the next day, he said, where are we going? We're going back to church. We had church every night. They had a great revival. Dr. Price had been there having meetings every night. He said, about the third or fourth night, I understood, I heard the gospel that God loved me, that God cared about me, that God could deliver me from alcohol and my sickness, that God wanted me. And he said, I went forward. They prayed for me. And I gave my heart to Jesus. They helped me. He said, God delivered me from alcohol. God took the habit of alcohol and drinking away and broke those chains. And I began to, they showed me the Bible and they began to read to me and help me to understand. And he began to give his testimony, and God began to help him. He understood the prodigal had come back to Jesus, and he heard about God's love. And he said, I began to testify and share, and things happened, and my whole life changed, and a new world opened up to me, and I began to hear about the Lord. And tonight, I want to tell you that that same God is right here that saved Billy. Billy Roberts, he's right here tonight, and he wants to save you. And what it is God loves you. Like the father to this prodigal that came, that father fell down on his knees and grabbed that boy. It didn't matter how dirty he was. It didn't matter how he stunk. It didn't matter all the problems he had. It was as his son, and he came back home. And God wants you to come home tonight. God loves you. There's nobody in the world loves you like God loves you. God loves you tonight. There are people in here tonight that need God. There's some man, some woman that I want to tell you tonight that Jesus loves you more than your mother, more than your father, more than anybody. If you had a mother or father that loved you, I had no father, but I had a mother that loved me. I could understand Billy a little bit about his struggle because I had no father, and I was so poor as well, and I could appreciate his wanting to get out from under that poverty and getting away from that disgrace of being at the bottom all the time. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you more more than you could ever know and more than anyone could ever tell. He loves you more than any man has ever loved his wife. He loves you more than any woman has ever loved her child. He loves you more than any father has ever loved his son. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you tonight. He cares about you tonight. And he wants you to experience him tonight. You don't need to wait. He's right here. What he did for Billy, he can do for you. He wants to save you. He wants to change you. He cares about you. You're important to him. It didn't matter how that boy looked. And it doesn't matter to God how you look tonight. It doesn't matter what your problems have been. It doesn't matter where you've come from. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. And that's why he went to the cross and took your place. He cares tonight. He wants you to know it. All true love comes from God. But Jesus has it all. Nobody has ever loved anybody like he loves you. He wants you to come to him tonight. He doesn't want you to wait. He wants to give you peace. He wants to take the burden off of your back. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man or a boy or a girl or a father or a mother. He stands tonight ready to receive you, ready to embrace you, ready to kiss you and hug you and tell you, I want you. The devil wants you and the world wants you, but God wants you tonight. He wants you tonight. He cares about you tonight. Well, Billy was so blessed and began to preach. And they said, Billy, they want you in 4 states for murder. You better go give yourself in, and because you're going to get caught now, you're preaching. People are going to hear about you. Billy prayed, and they prayed with him, and Billy turned himself in. When the judge arranged a great meeting, got his records, found out all the things that they had against him, and God, the judge, was touched by God, and he said, listen, I am going to exonerate you and wipe out your past, because you will do a lot more good preaching the gospel than you would behind bars. We are going to give you a clean record and wipe out your past. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. 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 God wants to wipe out your past tonight. God wants to take all of the burdens and the past and the pain and the sin and the mistakes, and he wants to wipe it out tonight and give you a clean record and hallelujah and embrace you as one of his children. He loves you. And that's how I came to New York. The first man that I began to preach with in this city was Billy Roberts. He had started a church in 125th Street in Harlem called a Soul Saving Station. My wife used to play the organ for him every Saturday night from 11 to 12. We went there. We were in a little mission store, a broke down, terrible store in Brooklyn. But we went over there on Saturday nights and my wife played the organ and I was there with Billy. Hallelujah. He came and preached for me, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he wants you to come tonight. He wants you to come tonight. He wants you to come tonight. And I'm not going to preach any longer. It's not how long you preach. It's listening to God. Come forward tonight and let Jesus take your burden and let him lift that load and wash your sins away and make you the man and the woman that you really want to be but never knew it. He cares for you. He wants you. And I want you to come tonight. I can't tell it like it is and probably nobody can really tell it but him. But I'm doing my best to tell you that God cares about you and loves you. And he wants you to come just like you are. And he wants to wipe out your past and give you a glorious future and give you the gift of eternal life and let you have the peace. That was the great thing that happened to me. I was so bound up in sin, I couldn't get free, but God set me free, and what he gave me was peace, inner peace. My first, after I was saved, I came to this city from Washington. I slept in a Grand Central Station on those iron, on those stone benches, and my back was breaking, but I had such peace, I'll never forget it, because I had come back to Jesus. I came home to Jesus. Will you come home tonight? Will you come back to him tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand together right now, everybody. And I want you that feel it. Maybe you made a start before and you didn't make it. Come on back tonight. Maybe you tried and you failed. Come on tonight. He loves you. He didn't quit loving you. He wants you to come. Come as we sing. Come down here and give your life to Christ and find the peace and find what Billy found and what I found and what the prodigal found. Hallelujah. He's real tonight. Will you step out right now? Praise God. And a few Christians, just come and stand here and pray right now with me that God will let everybody come. Listen, if only one person came, it'd be worth it. It would be worth it. If just one of you came, it'd be worth anything. It's worth anything. It's worth anything to have one person come. One boy, one girl, one mother, one father, one person. Come on, as we sing, come on down here and let's let Jesus touch your life tonight. Oh, he's here tonight to touch you. He's here to change you. He's here to reach out to you. He's here to reach out to you just like you are. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on from upstairs, way up there in the back. Please, come on. Come on tonight. Come home tonight. Come home to Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. Come on. He's waiting for you. As we sing, we want you to come. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone else. Maybe there's someone that's just wondering. Maybe there's one more. Someone else. Jesus loves you. You're thinking it over. We're waiting for you. He was waiting. That father waited for that son. He waited for him. He's waiting for you. We're here waiting. Come on. Come on. Whoever you are, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He cares about you. The devil hates you. And he's telling you, no, no, no. I'm telling you, everything I've said is true. And lots more than I've said is true. I can't really tell it like it is. But he loves you more than you could ever know. And he's inviting you tonight. Come on. This is the best opportunity you'll ever have. Is there someone else that would just step out tonight that feels the tug of the Spirit that God is calling you? We're just going to wait just a little more. Come on down, and then we're going to pray together. Wherever you are, some boy, some girl, some young man, some young lady, yes, yes, you are important. Yes, God loves you. I don't care what the world has said. I don't care what anybody said. God loves you. That's right. Come on down. Let's sing it one more time and let a few more come. Yes, come on. Come on down. Now put your hands up and let's pray together. All over this place, you can, wherever you're standing, you pray with us. Father, we're coming to you tonight. We like the Son, we're not worthy. But we thank you that you loved us, that you love us tonight, that you love me, that you died for me. And I return that love tonight. We ask, we invite you into our heart. Come into my life. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. And embrace me tonight. As your child, I receive you. I receive you, Jesus. I take you now as my Savior, as my Lord. Now give me your strength. I don't have it. I can't do it without you. But you can help me. You've helped millions. And you can help me. And I thank you tonight. I thank you for this night. I remember this night when I turned my life to you. And you became my Father. And I became your child. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him tonight. Amen. Pastor. Praise God. Praise God. Thank Him, everybody. Thank Him. He loves you. Don't ever forget it.